One of the things Far North Queensland is rightly famous for, well, it's rainforest. And here in Far North Queensland, we have the oldest piece of continuous rainforest in the world. And that's where we're going this afternoon with our wildlife correspondent, Martin Cohen.
Yeah, we are. And if you come to the Daintree Rainforest, Richard, the one place you must come to get a really good introduction into this beautiful lowland tropical rainforest is the Daintree Discovery Centre, and that's where I'm taking you today. And we're going to walk along the boardwalk and have a look at some of the wonderful vegetation here in the part of the Alexandra Range. And we're going to get Abby to come along as well, and she's going to tell us a bit about how this place was set up and why it was set up. I do know Ron and Pam Burkett, English couple, set this up in 1989, just after the time when the big Daintree was sort of very controversial and there was a lot of media coverage, and they came and had a vision for this place, and this is the fruition of their vision. It's an award-winning establishment, and it gives you a great background into the components of tropical rainforest, and I really enjoy coming here.
All right, well, let's get cracking. We're on the aerial walkway, Abby. How high up are we?
At the moment, we're only about 6 or 7 metres, but the highest point, it's about 14 metres off the ground. And it goes over a beautiful little stream. We haven't had much rain at the moment, so it's not flowing like it normally would in March, but it's still a very beautiful part of the area. And that takes you over to the tower, and that gets you right up above the tree line, and it's 23 metres at its highest point. So it's 5 separate levels that you can get up right up among the treetops there.
Whew. It's nice and steamy in rainforest. It's very humid, and that is a very tall palm tree. What kind is that?
That's called an Alexandra palm. It's grown decoratively all around Australia. You go to the Gold Coast or, you know, Queensland towns, and you'll see these beautiful Alexandra palms grown in people's gardens. And I've actually seen them all around the world. And so it's a really fast-growing palm. It's, as you can see, it's a beautiful, big, long fronds, 2 or 3 metre long fronds. Fruits come out from just below the fronds, end up having little red fruits. Lots of pigeons and lots of fruit-eating birds will eat them. The reason I wanted to show you this, Richard, is because this is an Alexandra palm. We're on the edge of the Alexandra Range. Mm-hmm. This is where it lives. This is its home. Yeah, its home. This is where they came from. And now it's one of the most popular cultivated palms in the world.
Well, we've got higher up into the rainforest here, Martin, and that's a pretty impressive fern down there next to the creek.
Yeah, this is the oldest continuous tropical rainforest in the world, so over 100 million years old. So you compare that to, say, Amazon, which is only a few million years old. And some of the plants in this part of the world are really, really primitive. That big thing down the bottom there, and there's quite a few along this little creek, is what we call a king fern. A king fern's ferns are in a separate group of plants. They disperse by spores under the leaves. You know, most people have probably got a maidenhair fern or something like that in their yard or in a pot. This king fern is believed to be pretty similar to the evolution of ferns back about 300 million years ago. And the spores from this fern are almost identical to fossilised spores from those very first ferns that colonised our Earth. So you think this is the first time plants have colonised our Earth, and now we're looking at something that's virtually unchanged in that 300 million years. The other interesting plant next to it there is coming up. It looks like that. I think Cyclone Yasi caught a little few trees, a bit of a tree fall, a landslip here. So there's a bit of a gap here just above the creek. And a lot of plants grow really quickly to fill those gaps. And one of them is this really nasty plant called a stinging tree. Now, I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with stinging trees. Big heart-shaped leaves, little fine silica hairs, and if you brush against it, it sort of injects into your skin and gives you extreme pain. In fact, if you get a really brush one really badly, you can end up in hospital in excruciating pain for quite a few days. It won't kill you, or shouldn't, but it'll give you pain, apparently, that is beyond belief. Now, I've had a couple of minor stings, and they've hurt like hell, but I've heard of people that have been in hospital for a few days. And the problem is that these little silica hairs with a bit of venom that get under your skin, they stay there. They're almost microscopic, and they stay there. And every time your skin expands or contracts over the next 3 to 6 months, say if you have a shower or, you know, walk into an air-conditioned room, they all shatter again, and you get another dose of pain. So not a pleasant thing. So those stinging trees are ones to avoid, and they are typical in sort of areas of gaps, much like waterwile, which is another plant that grows in those gaps as well.
It's interesting that you got side by side a fern that hasn't changed significantly in 300 million years, but next to it something that's got a pretty sophisticated level of adaptation to develop something to see off predators, I guess.
And that's another curious thing, because yes, you're right. You know, I wouldn't touch one of those leaves if you offered me millions of dollars, because I know the pain. But if you look at the leaves, you can see that they're all being eaten. So something's eating them. Insects are eating them. I know bandicoots eat them quite a lot. So a lot of animals can deal with these toxins. The fruit is like raspberries. They look like raspberries. And if you can actually risk getting to them, you can actually eat them. But I've never tried it because it's just too dangerous for me. So, it is a real defense mechanism, but obviously not completely effective.
Now, this will test our fitness. We're going to climb to the top of the Canopy Tower here at the Daintree Discovery Centre. It's a long way to the top, but they tell me the view is well worth the journey.
I could have put the billy on and made a cup of tea.
Thanks, Martin. Why didn't you? It's thirsty work. I know how Edmund Hillary felt.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's quite that high. This is the, I was talking about Associate Professor Mike Liddell from James Cook University, and the Discovery Centre sponsor all this research. What we're looking at is a big tower and a whole lot of technical instruments that take all these minute climate measurements, and it's a very important work. And also behind us you can hear a whole lot of cheeping and chirping, and if you look in the tree, you can see these sort of mound domed nests, and this is metallic starlings. Now, most people in the north, we talked about this on the radio not long ago, that they come down from New Guinea in about August and they build communal nests in a big tree and then fly back to New Guinea about April. And you can, you know, being up at the top of a tower here, you can get right up close and see them, almost at eye-to-eye level, which is pretty unique. So it's a great tower, beautiful view across the rainforest here of Alexander Range. This is some of the best quality rainforest we have in the far north.
There's the old phone tower at the top of the range in the middle there.
Yes, it's sort of sticks out a bit, isn't it? The rest of it is all just, you know, a magnificent green canopy, you know, a green solar panel of a canopy of trees. It's you know, one of the most productive ecosystems in the world. So,
and one of the oldest you mentioned. How different would it look now from all those years ago?
That's a really good question. The composition has probably changed. You know, species have evolved and some have become more dominant and depends on, you know, their distribution. But I would say that, you know, if we were standing here in some miracle 100 million years ago, we'd still be looking at that green sort of canopy, and just be the selection of species might be different. So it has, as I said, the oldest continuous tropical rainforest in the world.